In the words of the great Louis Armstrong, in answer to young people saying, "What do you mean it's a wonderful world? Well, how about all those wars all over the place? You call that wonderful? And how about hunger and pollution? That ain't so wonderful either. It ain't the world that's so bad. It's what we're doing to it. What a wonderful world it would be if only we would give it a chance.
Love, baby, love. That's the secret. Yeah.
on keyboards. Bill Cantos on keyboard.
Thank you. Thank you. little samba built upon a single note. Other notes they're bound to follow, but the root is still that note. And all these new bodies of consequence of the one we just been through, as I ought to be the unavoidable consequence of you. There's so many people who can talk and talk and talk and just say that they want you to live that way. I have used to walk the street, I know it'll be, and I've come to nothing, but nearly nothing. My love, my love, treat me loose.
Questions, any thoughts, anything but requests for songs. I'm a,
101!
I know wherever we play, somebody has something to say about the whipped cream now. You know, whipped cream now, yeah. Okay, let me tell you what happened one time only. This sounds like a phony story, I'm not making this up. This guy comes up to me a month and a half after the album was released on A&M. He says, you know, Mr. Albert, that cover, the whipped cream cover, that's the best album cover I've ever seen, period. I think it should win awards. I like the girl, I like the whipped cream, I like the green, I like the this, I like the that. I said, thank you so much. What about the music? He said, well, I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet. Seriously, a month and a half after it was released. Yeah, I know, sounds funny, it's funny. Anyways, hope you have a good time. Can everyone hear okay? Okay. This is really a lovely theater, by the way. It's very nice to play on the stage here, and I hope it's nice for you out there. Have a good time. We're going to start with a song from Mexico. This is a song that was written by a young lady, supposedly, when she was 16 years old. And it's such a unique story because this song internationally is probably one of the most famous songs ever recorded internationally in every language and as instrumentals, as vocals, in different languages. So she was 16 and I was really curious about her. I looked her up on Wikipedia. Supposedly she wrote this song when she was 16 years old. I said, man, that's incredible. And then I looked it up about 2 years later on Wikipedia, and you know what happened. All of a sudden, she turned to be 24, and 32, and then, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, but don't trust Wikipedia. Anyways, have a good time. Hope you enjoy this song.
Thank you.
Thank you.
guy here at a stoplight and the car next to you is playing a song. Sounds something like this. It's coming around though, isn't it? Trumpets are coming back, I guarantee you. I guarantee you forget that. But I didn't even know trumpets were going to come in when I did the Lonely Bowl in 1962. I was shocked. But got lucky. Right timing. Timing plays such an important part in one's success. It was like the right moment, the right time. We tried to start A&M Records now in this environment. It never would have happened. So 1962 was perfect. I had a good song. I used to go to bullfights, and I got enamored with, there was a brass band in the stands. I never listened to mariachi music, but this wasn't mariachi music. This was just a brass band in the stands that would like introduce all the various events that happened in the bullfight. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, that type of thing. And I got caught up in it. Of course, I was drinking a lot of wine. No, but I really got a feeling for it. So I went home and I had a song written by a friend of mine. It didn't sound like The Lonely Bull. It sounded like he wrote it. It was like a music box song, but I liked the melody. So I adapted the melody to this instrumental record. It was just a demo that I was making. And I played it for a disc jockey friend of mine in Los Angeles. And he said, "Where's the hook?" I said, "What are you talking about, the hook?" I said, "This is an instrumental record. There's no hook on this thing." He says, "You need a hook." I thought about it, because this guy played, you know, he was a pop disc jockey, and he was, you know, on the biggest station in Los Angeles. So I thought about the hook, so I called the head engineer at Liberty Records. I said, in your library, do you happen to have anything at a bullfight?" He said, "Do I have something at a bullfight? Are you kidding? I have 30,000 people yelling ole at a bullfight." I said, "God love you, man." I ran up, listened to this tape, and it was a sensation. So I put that ole sound right in the front of the Lonely Bull, and that was the hook. And the record took off like a rocket ship in 1962. It was the first record we put out on A&M Records. And it was an amazing run. I mean, you know, things started gathering distributors, and the ball started rolling for us. And I got this call while this record was zooming up the charts. A call from our distributor in Washington, D.C. He says, "You guys got a smash. Man, this Acapulco 1922 is a monster." I said, "Baby, you're on the wrong side. It's the other side." He was playing the wrong side. And so the point is, when the door finally swings open for you, you know, now you gotta walk through it. You know? That's the awkwardness of you turn it over, and then you just big it in Marshall. Okay, where were we? Why did I tell you that? This guy's in love with you. Yeah, it's the same as him. Yeah, I'm not gluten-free anymore. It's not that easy. I was watching these cable shows, and they were reproducing all the old songs with the original groups of the 60s. And these old geezers would they'd get up and sing these songs. I said, "Man, do I look like that when I'm singing this song? I can't do that." She said, "No, but every now and then, if you really want to hear it, you're going to have to sing it with me, right? You're going to do it? Okay, but under one condition, that you really sing out, even if you can't sing, even if you're telling F, who cares? Let it just fly, okay? You promise? Is this the right key for you guys? There is no key.
You see this guy? This guy is in love with you. Yes, I'm in love. Who looks like you do the way I do? When you smile, I can't tell. We know each other very well. A friend
could have had a hit record. Just like, I'm not a singer.
You know, you get a good song, and the timing is right, doing a television show. We did that song on this television show in 1968. 2 weeks after that show was seen, it was number one in the country, that song. And it was a great song. It was written by two people that really know what to do with the melody and the lyric, Burt Bacharach and Hal David. I called Burt and I said, Burt, we're doing this television show. Can you find me a song that the director says he doesn't want to, you know, photograph me with the trumpet in the mouth? You know, he wants me to sing a song. Is there a song you think I can handle that you maybe find yourself whistling in the shower or singing down the street? Or, you know, whatever that is. Anyways, he sent me This Girl's in Love with You. He recorded it with Dionne Warwick. And I liked the song. It felt good with the melody. I called Hal David. I asked him if he would change the gender for the TV show. He did. And as I was leaving his place, I asked him that same question I asked her. Well, he sent me Close to You. Yeah, Close to You. And there, I left that whole thing, and there was only one recording of Close to You. Believe it or not, were you sitting? I'll tell you who did it. Dr. Kildare. Richard Chamberlain had the only recording of Close to You before I got my calls on. I recorded it, and I thought it was really good. I was listening to the playback, the final master playback, in the A&M studios, and Larry Levine, who was the head engineer at A&M, was a dear friend of mine. I said, Larry, tell me the truth. How do I sound singing this song? There was a pause. And he said, you sound terrible singing this song. I said, what do you mean I sound terrible? He said, I don't think this song fits you. Anyways, okay. Bottom line is I lost my confidence. I didn't think, it was worth anything. So I put it away, put it in my drawer, and in 1970, I gave it to the Carpenters. That was the personal song. So, one thing I turned on, and every now and then I listen to that recording that I made. It happens to be one of Michael's favorite recordings. He listens to it every night before he goes to sleep. I think it puts him to sleep, but I don't know what the heck. Anyway, it's not all that bad. If you promise not to laugh, maybe he'll play it for you. You are whether I want to or not. Tyson, you mean? Fall down from the sky. Every time you walk by. Can you help me out, please?
Just like me, they long to be close to you. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled flowers in the air.
Hey, thank you. It's not bad, right? Well, it's really fortunate. Gave it to the Carpenters. They recorded it three times. The first recording I wasn't crazy about because Karen was playing drums, God bless her. And she was a really good drummer, but it was a little too light. We thought it needed a little oomph. So we got the third recording. We got the Wrecking Crew in there and Hal Blaine on drums. And, we got the... we got those guys that were used to making hit records, and that was the record, that was the sound, but it was Richard and Karen. It wasn't just Karen's magnificent voice, it was Richard, who did the arrangements and played piano, and he had a way of getting the most out of Karen. So it was the two of them that made that special, and they've had a tremendous career, and they're still selling records after all these years. It's an amazing thing that has happened to those two kids. And then what happened? And then, in 1966, I was auditioning Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66. walked in this room and heard this fantastic sound. You know, this hybrid Brazilian jazz, American jazz, pop, classical, African, had all these elements, and this young lady was the lead singer, and she gave me goosebumps. Yeah. And we signed them to a long contract at A&M. And at that time, the Tijuana Brass, we were playing for, you know, 20,000 people. I mean, in the big arenas, Madison Square Garden, Boston Garden, you know, those places. And Sergio and the group, they were going to open the show for us. And before we started traveling with them, I got my guys together and I said, look it, guys, whatever you do, don't fool around with the girls in the group. There's Bonnie and a beautiful lady by the name of Bibi Vogel. And it's just not smart. It's not good business. It's not professional. And I said, you know, whatever you do, do not do that. And so I got all these guys out of the way, and Lonnie and I have been married for 45 years. I set you up for that one. But anyway, it's been an amazing 45 years of my life. I'm married to an angel. And this angel, we did this fundraiser for the Painted Turtle Camp outside of Los Angeles, which is an offshoot of the Paul Newman camps. And every year they have to raise an enormous amount of money to keep the camp solvent. So this is about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I can't tell anymore, you know? It seems like I'm having a birthday every 3 months. Is that possible? Anybody else experience that? Yeah. What the heck's going on? I couldn't wait to be 21, but man, I can wait now. Slow it down, buddy. Okay. So what happened? She sang that song. Our friend Lou Adler produced the show, and asked Lonnie. They were honoring Carole King that night, and asked Lonnie if she would open the show. And this show was at the Kodak Theater with, you know, full, sold out Kodak Theater, the one that really had the Academy Awards, etc. Honoring Carole King, opening the show with orchestra. Lonnie is going to do that song that she sang. She sang Up on the Roof by Carole King and Jerry Goffin for you, and she's going to do then. Follow it up with a bunch of Brazil 66 evergreens.
The reason I chose this song to do for that evening is because it reminds me of when I was growing up in Chicago. My dad and I used to sit on the back porch on summer evenings and watch the stars. And he would tell me all kinds of stories about the universe and planets and time and space. He told me once that some of the starlight that we were seeing could be from stars that had died long ago, but time hadn't caught up with their light yet. So this song reminds me being on the porch with my dad and the stars.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way to the top of the stairs. All of my cares just drift right into space. Stars put on a show.
Going down, and the eyes in his left Any thoughts, any ideas?
What do you like now?
Pardon me?
Music.
Who do I like? Ravel. Love Ravel. No, I like jazz.
Produce Sister Sparrow.
Pardon me?
Produce Sister Sparrow.
Sister Sparrow?
Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds.
Well, I'm not sure about that one.
How about Botan Project?
What's that?
Botan Project.
Trust me.
I don't know. What's
Harry Boston?
Sundown Lady.
Yeah, we like that song. That was the first album that Lonnie did after she left Brazil 66. Unfortunately, it's not in our set right now. That's for no request.
Just play Route 101.
Route 66. Isn't it Route 101? Is it 101?
Somebody asked about Jerry Moss. Oh, Jerry Moss is my partner. Started A&M together, and he's getting married next Saturday. The best man, we're going to this beautiful wedding in Montecito, California. Okay, so let's see, where are we now? I wanted to tell you something about when the Beatles broke up, right? Yeah, the Beatles broke up. George Harrison had a record label of his own. It's called Dark Horse. It was being distributed by A&M. And he used to spend a great deal of time on the A&M lot. You know, we owned the Chaplin Studios. And he spent so much time there, he married one of our secretaries, Olivia, but he was a real good guy. You know, he was not caught up in all the attention and what's happened, you know, internationally, those four guys. He was always looking for the meaning of life. He was just like everyone else, you know, trying to find out how he fit into this thing called life. But he did nice things. You know, he raised a lot of money, Bangladesh, millions and millions of dollars for people that needed help. And I think he wrote one of the most beautiful Beatles songs. And I'd like to dedicate it to him, play that song, and dedicate it to the great George Harrison.
Thank you.
just like an angel off the page. You appear in my life, and I have never been the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands, I'm honored to love you. I don't wonder anymore why you wouldn't want to be with anyone but me, 'cause I'm completely yours, so completely
thank you.
She forgot to pick up her little axe there, but man, she can play percussion. About 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we did a music video on this song of Jason Mraz called I'm Yours. Wanted to do something about love. What's happening with love? I mean, it's like in short order here. I mean, we need more love in this country and in the world. So, we did this video, and the video is about what's happening with love around the world. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
voice comes into night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, you fool, you never can think. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop.
Some of you might not believe it. He just made that up. He seriously just made that up as he was going along. Never heard it like that before. We played together a lot. Yeah. Why did you choose that note instead of the other note?
It just happened.
Okay, that's jazz. I mean, that's how you make $1 million playing jazz. How do you make $1 million playing? You really want to know? I'll tell you how you make $1 million playing jazz. First, you start with $3 million. Musicians hate that joke. So, we get a chance to play with our dear friends, who happen to be fantastic musicians. On drums, Michael Shapiro. On drums and percussion and voice, he also sings along with it. On bass, Hussein Jeffrey, the vocals. I know a lot of artists come here and they try to sell you things, trinkets and hats and keychains and stuff you don't need. We're selling stuff you don't need too back here someplace. But, you know, if you want them, they're there. And there's Lonnie's book, Emotional Memoirs is called, half fiction, half nonfiction. It's a great read. And these albums are back there, and like I say, you don't need them. The next tune we're going to play is from one of those albums. It's called Steppin' Out, and we won a Grammy for the album. In that album is a tune called Putting on the Ritz. So we did this music video, Putting on the Ritz, I don't know how many years ago that was, but how many? 8, 5, 6, 4. Bingo! I don't know. At any rate, it's an incredible video. There are no edits on this video. It's just one continual shot. We had a gentleman in a Steadicam who was a real, you know, artist, and he was following us around. There are a lot of moves, a lot of people helping us. You'll see me in three different scenes, but there were people, you know, doing all sorts of things to help this thing come off, and it was choreographed by Nappy Tap, people who work on So You Think You Can Dance. And we had a good time doing it, but I guarantee you, check this out. There's not one edit on this video. And it's been a delight playing for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Table filled with instruments. I picked up a trumpet. I mean, there were clarinets, trombones, whatever. I picked up the trumpet. I couldn't make a sound out of it. I thought you just blow hot air into it. And that doesn't work like that. I finally made the sound, and the thing was talking for me because I am a card-carrying introvert. Seriously, I mean, I might not feel like it up on the stage here, but I'm an introvert. So this horn was saying things I couldn't get out of my mouth, and it was an amazing experience. And taken me to like really interesting places. And I think kids should have that experience at an early age, you know? And you know, if you have to play an instrument, they could, you know, write poetry, paint, sculpt, act, do whatever they can, you know, get that creative juices out at an early age. And if they start feeling good about that, they might feel good about themselves, you know? And if they can feel good about themselves, maybe they'll appreciate
the uniqueness in others, and that's, I think we need a lot more of that. And if you vote for me, I'll make sure. Okay, so you were really good singing these songs. You had a good time, it seems like. We got another song. Okay, we got another song for you. We just put this in the app. And we did a version of Copacabana. Remember that song? Okay, there's a bridge, or a chorus, whatever they call it. And you know, at the Copacabana. Remember that? That's what you're going to sing. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. What's the deal? Oh yeah, okay, so the unique part of it is, I thought, man, how can we do that song? It was a big record by Barry Manilow, and how can we do it that maybe a little different? Hussein's gonna sing that first verse in English, and Lonnie is gonna sing that second verse in Portuguese. How about that? Yeah, anyways, you're gonna see this video, and once again, thank you so much. It's been lovely playing for you. And being nice. One more.
Get a picture of that.